Well, it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by pastor and friend Jason Hayes. Jason, what's up, man?
Man, it is another Wednesday afternoon. Here we are. It is a glorious day.
It is.
And man, I tell you what, like I am still just trying to process all that is happening around us, and I don't mean COVID.
Yeah,
for once.
This
is not to imply that COVID is not there.
We could have.
I just feel like there's lots of other things that are happening.
We could have turned the microphone on before we went on air, and probably good we didn't, just because we were talking about everything that's going on.
It truly is so much stuff. It is a wild day. Some things that are you know, really insignificant.
Sure.
I was listening to the radio earlier this morning talking about football transfers and you know, all kinds of stuff that's happening as it relates to you know, college athletics and all kinds of you know, aspects of the bubble when it comes to pro sports. So you've got all that stuff. Like, that's really insignificant stuff. And then you've got, like, straight up DNC
convention,
virtual, you know,
convention,
and all kinds of statements that are bewildering at times.
Yeah.
And again, that's not to imply that there won't be bewildering next week as well.
Sure,
but just like head scratchers all the way around. You know, just a constant. What feels like, I would say, some type of conflict that, like, deep, is like, well, deep down inside me that thinks things are being said that are simply just not true.
Yeah. And in 2020, it's easy to find out they're not true.
I think that's my point.
Like, back in the day, it was a candidate would say something. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't search that. There's no Snopes. You know, he said it. He's on this train tour, and he said it, and we don't have the paper yet. Maybe next week we'll know if it's honest or not. But in 2020, you can just quickly Google and go, hey, that's not
true. Like, wait a minute. I know that you're saying this person started this policy, but actually this person started this policy.
Oh, that's not true. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. So you're saying this person wants to get rid of this? No, they actually are.
Yeah.
Like, you can look at the video and listen to them say, we do not want to get rid of this. Or, I mean, anything.
Yeah.
It really does feel insulting. And again, to be very clear, the same thing is going to happen most likely next week.
100%.
You know,
the interesting thing to me is with these conventions. Of course, the difference this year is they're virtual, and so it's odd. So I got a couple points with that. First and foremost, the production value, not good.
No,
not good at all.
No.
And so the frustrating part for me, like, we have for the last 6 months been accustomed to a certain level of viewership when it comes to streaming.
Right.
At Hope, we had 30 days to change our in-person event to a virtual event. And we should be humble, but
you did
it
very well.
I think we did a good job.
Yeah.
We spent the money. We had not a lot of money, but we did a good job.
Right.
Shoreline's been putting out virtual online
week
programs
after week, after week.
Week after week. It looked good, very good programming. Churches across the country have done that. The crazy part to me is the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, they are hand in hand with Hollywood, with producers,
right,
with, like, amazing videographers, amazing creative people, production, all these things. And then I watch it and I'm going, oh no.
And again, I mean, who knows what next week's going to look like? But these are non-political statements.
Non-political.
These are non-political
That's
statements.
On the surface.
It really is just like that general thing. You're like, wait a minute. Was there no one there to say, especially when a good portion of this is pre-recorded?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, like, was there no one there to say, hey,
that doesn't look good.
You looked a little dead right there.
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's have a little bit of energy here.
Yeah.
Hey,
let's try that.
You know,
maybe
we can soften that a little bit here. And I'm not even talking about, like, what they're saying.
Yeah.
I'm simply just saying how they're presenting it. Or, hey, maybe we shouldn't have that big glare coming off of the window right behind you. I mean,
it should be HD.
Yeah.
You know, in 2020. And here's another thing that really, you mentioned pre-recording. The reason why that's important is Michelle Obama, in a primetime speech, the first night of the convention, she recorded that before Joe Biden even named his VP. So you have an African-American first lady, former first lady, who had an opportunity to mention the first African-American VP candidate to be running on the major ticket of a major political party. She didn't even mention her because she recorded it before she was mentioned.
Like, guys, we can turn this around faster than this.
And then she used numbers, COVID death numbers, that were wrong because it was pre-recorded.
You're like, we can do
this. And hospitalization numbers that were wrong. You're like, my goodness. And so it's just the small things like that.
For our listeners, we come in hot today.
Yeah.
What exactly is, because I do think that this is important, what exactly is happening in a Democratic or Republican National Convention? For those that are listening and thinking, hey, I know there's this thing that's happening out there. It seems like a bunch of hubbub. It seems like a bunch of posturing. You know, they're presenting in theory some type of platform. tell us what it's supposed to be and maybe a little bit more what it is actually proving to be.
I think what this year is a little bit different because Joe Biden has been the presumptive nominee for months. I mean, I think there for just a tiny bit, it looked like Bernie Sanders was going to pull it off.
Right.
And which happened in 2016.
And then the machine ate him up.
Saw was the party was like, yeah, Bernie, you're not going to do it. And so,
that's not going to work for us.
And so Bernie, did a little bit better this time around, but then it was pretty clear they're going to, you know, put all their eggs in the Joe Biden basket. And so it's just been known Joe's going to be the candidate. And so the convention is kind of at this point, just a formality. Hey, we just got to do it.
Right.
And so with a virtual convention, typically you have a large gathering and it's real raucous and a lot of screaming and yelling. You have all the states and you have delegates being given to, you know, so they'll, you know, one state will stand up and say, we give all of our delegates of the state of New York to Joe Biden. But this year is not going to be like that.
Right.
Last night he officially, I think, accepted the nomination, and which everybody knew was going to happen, but again, via Zoom. And so it's kind of weird. The main point of the conventions is, in terms of political stances, that's where you get your bump. You're on primetime TV, on most of the networks for a few nights, and so you're getting a chance to put your platform in front of the country.
Right.
And so whatever that platform is, and what we've seen this week, the platform is very much, hey, we do not like the guy in the Oval Office.
Right. And anything that he's doing is
and that's pretty much the
or anything that he's he, anything that's opposed to what he's doing is basically
and that's pretty much the strategy, it seems like, which I'll just say, look, you know, far be it for me to advise, but I'll say that the strategy of just simply running against someone instead of encouraging and motivating people to vote for someone is a losing strategy. I was in college, I was a big George W. fan and a political science major. Everybody disagreed with me. I was always looking for somebody to debate with.
Sure.
And so I would say, okay, why are you voting for John Kerry? And they would immediately go, well, Bush is dumb and he did. I was like, no, look, I get it. You don't like him. But why are you voting for John Kerry other than you don't like Bush?
Because how do you know that Kerry's not dumb?
Exactly.
And so, you know, if you think Bush is dumb, then how do you know anyone else is not dumb?
And so what we found, even back then, what we found was they couldn't get enough people energized to just simply be against Bush. To win an election, you got to get people to be for a candidate.
Right.
And I think we saw that in 2016. They tried to kind of paint this as a be against Trump. And a lot of people were like, yeah, but, you know, Hillary's not great. And so they weren't motivated to go out and vote. And so the interesting part is normally a candidate is going to get a bump in the polls when they name their VP, which Biden did, and convention. I mean, for him, it came back to back weeks. That should give him at least a 5 to 10 bump.
Yeah.
And the reality is the latest poll numbers after he named his VP candidate, Trump has closed the margin to about 4 points. And then the Republican convention is going to happen, and we'll see if that'll give a bump to the president.
Let's be honest. We literally have no idea what will happen next week. I mean, at this point, it feels as
I'm guessing torched earth, like ultimate trolling. Not good for society, not necessarily good for the
but maybe
rhetoric,
predictable
but
on this.
Man, great political theater is what it'll be.
It is truly crazy days on those things. So you made an announcement on the way into the studio today.
I did.
Dare we share it with the listeners?
Yeah, for the first time in what seems like forever. We are coming back to Shoreline this Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, the family is coming back. The Wood Family Church van will be in the parking lot. Now we're not going to get out. We're just going to be in the parking lot this Sunday.
Yeah, man. I'm just curious. So kind of what's gotten you to that point?
For us, it's been, first off, this has been the longest stretch in my life.
Of course. Sure.
In my life. Not just, like this year, longest stretch in my life, I haven't been inside of a building on Sunday morning.
Right, and a lot of your reservations have been because you do have family that are vulnerable and you're very close with those folks and you see them and all of that stuff.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
So all of your reasons are completely understandable, justifiable. You and I joke about it, but I mean, truly, 100% understand. So what has changed?
Yeah,
for
us, it was, we were sitting there Sunday watching the service at home and, one thing that stood out to us was this week, the two younger can go to a nursery.
Correct.
On Sunday.
Absolutely.
And so that we have four kids. Our two youngest are 4 and 2. And so having them sit through a service without running around and going to other people and social distancing, probably not going to happen. And so, so they're going to be able to go to nursery. Our older two can sit with us and I think that'll work out well.
Nice.
So that's what we decided. And frankly, we're just like tired of sitting on Sundays watching it.
Yeah, no, I get it.
As soon as it came up on Sunday, they were like, you can register now. Aaron looked at me and went, do it right now. Don't wait right now. I was like, okay. So
I love it.
We're coming Sunday.
I'm probably going to take off a few weeks.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking.
You should.
I was off this last weekend. Super proud of my youngest son. Big weekend for him. You know that I don't traditionally get a lot of weekends off, and that's kind of comes with the privilege of being a pastor. But we actually took the weekend off. My youngest son has so patiently watched the two older boys play baseball basically all summer long.
Yeah.
They've been able to play baseball because in theory it is, you know, more of a distance sport.
Sure.
It's a non-contact sport. And so, they have been playing baseball. He plays soccer. Our youngest plays soccer. He's not been able to do anything. Now they've been able to practice at a distance and all that other stuff. Well, this weekend they were able to have their first games back. And so we actually traveled to, not Atlanta. We didn't go into Atlanta. We were more like Canton area. And we're going to have to talk about that here in a minute after the break. We're going to talk about Canton versus Asheville.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. But we went to Canton, Georgia for the Georgia Elite Cup, and they played in the top division and came home champions. Went
awesome.
Undefeated, came home champions, and so that was super fun. I tell you what, man, you know, we can get discouraged by all the things political, and we can get discouraged by, you know, COVID and all this stuff. But man, sometimes you just see certain things that are just so life-giving to you. And I will say there's been very few things that have been more encouraging to me in recent months than watching my two oldest boys sit on the sidelines and cheer wildly for their 8, soon-to-be 9-year-old little brother. Man, it was just like, oh, Lord, thank you. Just what a sweet, like a small gift of grace that he just like allowed us to see that, like just to see how much they care for each other and just to see like that. And like, in fact, the very final game, the championship game went down to a shootout. Okay.
Wow.
Penalty kick shootout. Yeah. And my oldest son, as you guys know, has Tourette syndrome. He lives, super high functionality, great athlete, great, you know, scholastically, all these things. But at the end of the shootout, after we won, he looked over at me, and he's got this great sense of teenage humor now, and he looked at me and said, I think my ticks have regressed 2 years in the last game.
That's funny.
Oh, it's just classic.
That's
so good. Anyways, we're going to talk about a whole lot more things and hopefully some things that are super life-giving to you when we come back from the break.
That's good stuff right there.
I
If I was a songwriter, that would be me. In that room, I would go, hey, let's start off with me going, how, how, how.
You're like, what lyrical inspiration do I have today?
Nobody in the room.
You know what I saw? I was over at the Home Depot, and I saw a guy kind of growling a little bit. And that has inspired me.
Yeah.
And so let's start this song with ar, ar, ar,
yeah, and nobody like around the, and everybody around the table went, oh my gosh,
That's gonna work, man.
That is brilliant.
That is gonna work.
And I'm sure drugs had nothing to do with them.
You know what's gonna happen? We're gonna write this song and guys are gonna listen to it 20 plus years later and play it on the radio and enjoy it.
You know, and that's
and the great thing is I actually was enjoying it.
It is good. It is really good. Anything with the guitar that hard,
that little riff
is going
to
work.
Am I cool enough to use the expression
I don't know.
Riff?
I almost said something to the effect, and I was like, I don't know if I can even use the word properly.
On Sunday mornings, we do a kind of a production meeting. It's not we're always quick to say.
The DNC should have had one of those.
Yes,
a production meeting.
And so all we're talking about is, you know, I mean, we're spending time to pray together, kind of focusing our hearts in on what we're focusing on that morning. But then we talk about just the flow of service and things of that sort. And on occasion, they'll use words like vamp or something like that. And I'll just be like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about, but I really appreciate it.
Yeah. You're,
they're amazingly talented people that I'm so thankful to serve
with. That's when you say you're adding a lot of value to this meeting.
I literally say, God bless you guys. And I am going to step out of this conversation.
Yeah. I get it. I get it. You know, and that's, hey, that's where we are. You know, I was going to say, coming back from break, COVID has hit my family directly, and it's been a weird. It's been one of those things.
This would not be the appropriate time to tell me you have COVID.
No.
If we're in,
I mean,
we're in
what
the studio.
I mean by that, is me.
No, okay, great.
No, it's my brother who lives 4 hours from here. My niece and nephew tested positive.
Man,
but my niece, not one symptom, no fever, nothing. Her boyfriend. This is the interesting thing. The school's been in for. And I'm saying this up here because we're 4 hours away.
Right, right.
And my brother would not want folks to know, but I'm saying it up here.
Just to clarify, are you implying that we do not have a national audience?
Probably not in Cornersville. Maybe.
Okay, that helps. Okay, got it. Okay. I'm sure we do have probably global audience.
For sure.
It just happens to be in this particular pocket where they are.
They're probably not.
They're not listening.
Yeah.
Okay,
as school's been in for maybe 3 weeks, my niece's boyfriend, who's also the principal's son, tested positive. So the school immediately sent her home because she'd been in contact with it's her boyfriend. They're freshmen. And then my nephew is a senior and he shares a football locker with the same kid.
Oh.
So they had to go home. They had to get tested. Both were positive, but again, no symptoms. My nephew, great shape, 17, 18 years old, about to be 18 years old, planning on joining the military, had a fever for like a night. And has been fine.
Yeah.
And so they've closed the high school now because they've had a lot. So they've closed the high school for 2 weeks. And even the Marshall County, the larger high school in the county, they've had, I think, 300 absences the other day. So I think they've closed that high school. But look, these are things that we knew were going to happen.
Right.
When people get back together, you knew that was, especially when girlfriend and boyfriends get back together.
Sure.
But we also know that statistically, the data shows the young folks not going to have any symptoms.
So let me just go ahead and declare that in Woodstock, Georgia, where I was this weekend, this combination, we were kind of like back and forth between Woodstock and kind of the very tip of Canton, I guess. They have never heard of the coronavirus. they are unfamiliar with this thing that has been
plaguing
the nation.
America and freedom.
Yes.
Thank you.
We were there this weekend and
they were kissing everybody on the mouth.
It was truly remakable. I mean,
was it really like walking into another?
Like here's the deal. So we've been at plenty of ballparks over the last couple months. And so we kind of know how people are responding in that environment. Like there's a lot of people at ball fields that are, it's outside, it's hot. I think many of them, have just kind of conceded or they're just trying to keep their distance as best they can. And that's really where we've been personally, if I'm going to be forthright. However, as we know in Knoxville, Tennessee today, if we were to walk into the Cracker Barrel, the Chili's, any restaurant, I mean, you're going to need to have a mask as you walk in. Yep. You're going to sit down. You can take your mask off and anything. You go into a store, you're going to be expected to have your mask on. I mean, all of those things are kind of standard. There's still lines on the floor. People are expecting you to keep your distance. I mean, there's kind of that. Those things did not exist, at least in the venues that I chose to walk into, every gas station, restaurant.
Come on.
I mean, it was crazy to the point of legitimately, I'm telling you, I was uncomfortable. Like, I was genuinely uncomfortable.
Isn't it weird where we have gone the last 5 months?
That
now, because of our context and where we live,
right,
walking into a store without anything on or seeing people without anything on, it makes you uncomfortable. Isn't that, no, that's no political statement. That's just a fact.
Correct.
That is where we are in just a matter of 5 months.
Yes. So we went into a restaurant, and I'm not going to, mention the name of the restaurant again because of our global audience.
Sure.
And I don't,
well, we also don't want them to be flooded.
I don't think, I don't think any of their patrons would be impacted in any way. But it is actually a really cool concept. It is basically a burger joint, burger and wings. And I guess it's got, you know, I'm sure they serve beer and all that other stuff, but it was basically a restaurant that was like their big kind of mantra was like run by veterans.
Oh, cool.
For veterans.
Yeah.
Something. And so really, like, in fact, the lady that came to our table, started by just kind of asking if we'd ever been there before, and we said we'd not. We saw it on TripAdvisor, and we were kind of looking to do something a little bit fun. It was my oldest son's birthday on Saturday, and so we were like, let's just try something, you know. And it had great reviews. I would imagine because the large majority of the patrons have this like strong like kind of allegiance to one another, and so it's great. And for just the pure culinary experience, I will say the food was quite good.
Yeah.
But, she came out and she said, have you ever been here before? And we said, no. And she said, really? Like the large majority of the people in here are veterans.
Wow.
Or, you know, they've served to some degree or are still currently
serving.
You probably
felt safe.
Yeah, I did feel safe. Yeah. I will say that when it came to like any type of harm, beyond
COVID. No one's coming in here to try to rob this place.
However, like we started with this thing. I mean, we were 5 seconds into that discussion when she comes to the table and she does have a mask on. Okay. She was one of kind of probably half the staff had masks on. Okay. She comes to the table and she just immediately says this statement. She starts to talk and then she says, are y'all okay with me taking this off? Because I can't talk. It's muffling me.
Yeah.
And then you're like at an immediate,
it's
like,
a weird place.
You're at a crossroads
question,
right there.
Yeah.
And we were actually with another family.
Yeah.
And I just chose to go to the very, mature no answer approach.
Come on.
I just kind of looked at her.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I kind of looked at her and then Carrie, my wife, just kind of like fumbled through some things and all this to say the lady never came back with a mask ever again.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy. Okay. Crazy. So anyway, so that's our experience in Woodstock, Georgia. Carrie, my wife, is texting with a friend who had spent the weekend in Asheville, North Carolina.
Different place.
Now we can imagine, you know, kind of different demographic, thus differing viewpoints, differing approaches. And so texting with this girlfriend that had been in Asheville for the weekend on a little girls getaway. And she's talking about how extreme it had been the other direction. And she says there was at one point she was quite literally zip lining through the mountains
with a mask
alone in the rain with a mask on.
Yeah. And see, so if anybody says this virus hasn't been politicized, that's the only
illustration you need. Let me give you that.
Woodstock, Georgia, Asheville, North Carolina. You're welcome.
We'll talk more when we come back.
That's a good one, too.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's...
Dave's on fire today.
Who is that? Peter Gabriel.
Nice.
Peter Gabriel. He's an apostle and an angel.
He is. It's crazy how all that worked. And he's a very talented songwriter, apparently.
Yeah, you think his parents were like, you know what? We love Peter. He's very bold in the Bible. But we also love the angel Gabriel. So you're going to get both of those.
Oh, man. That is that's strong.
Speaking of names, I was listening to a podcast earlier this week. I normally listen to just our podcast over and over.
Right.
But this week, for whatever reason, Siri played a different one. I don't know why. Huh. And so... And they were talking about post office stuff, which we're not going to get into.
No.
Lord help us.
But
there was a post office historian, which I didn't know that was a thing, and her last name was Post. And I thought,
brilliant.
What? That is amazing. You think
brilliant.
This her whole life, she was like, I cannot wait. I just love the post office, and I'm going to study it, and my last name's Post. And this is going to be amazing. And I was built for this and made for this. And this is what I'm going to do with my life. I just thought it was the greatest name. And the person talking about it, the podcast host,
right,
didn't even say a word about it. I would have spent 30 minutes.
Absolutely. Because you and I both know we can run down a rabbit trail with the best of them.
100%. I can talk 30 minutes about literally anything.
And I think that we prove that almost on a weekly basis.
Anything. Sometimes we end this show and I go, man, I wish we had more time that I could talk about that.
Also should be noted that our listeners have never said that. Ever.
Yeah,
our
never.
Listeners have said, please, is the hour up?
Okay, so you said that your experience in Woodstock very much different than a friend of yours' experience in Asheville, North Carolina.
Right.
And that's just natural. I mean,
sure.
It's the same thing when if you went and visit. I saw a meme the other day, and it was a picture of Amish people, and it said, "Do you know why we haven't been, I can't even say it. Do you know why we haven't been affected by the coronavirus?" And then at the bottom it says, because we don't have TV. And
yes.
It's like, it's a great point.
Yes.
It's a great point.
Yes.
And so there is a reality to, differences in some of these areas in different parts of the country. There's also a reality to, hey, New York is going to be hit worse because they are living on top of each other, public
right.
transportation, nobody has their own car,
right.
elevators, like you're all over the
sure.
place. And in the South, you have big yards. You can go to a ball game and space out.
Right.
You can go to soccer and space out. Like there's just different. And context matters in these cases. Also, it's hot and the sun, you know, we know, is killing the virus too. And
sure.
so that all of those things are happening. It's just interesting the dynamic that it brings and what it does to our psyche. Because I think regardless of where you fall on the issue, the reality is, we've been accustomed to certain things. So if you are pulled out of if you live in Asheville, North Carolina,
right.
and you're just simply a rule follower,
yes.
you have your own opinions, but you're like, look, we have to wear a mask everywhere.
Right.
And then you go to Woodstock, Georgia, and you're like, where am I?
I mean, I will tell you, we pulled into the little town. They've got like kind of a little square right there, and it's actually a cool little quaint
yeah.
little area. But we pulled in, and it looked like one of these scenes of a fraternity party that you see on the national news. Like, I mean, it was people everywhere.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, even you just referenced it. I mean, there's been all kinds of speculation. How in the world have we not figured this out? There's been all this speculation back and forth and back and forth. Does the
yeah.
sun actually do anything for it? Well, then Fauci comes back out, literally just came back
yeah.
out and said yes.
100%.
Yes.
He said 100%. It kills it.
Yes. And you're like, well, wait a minute.
We should be outside.
But so then you see all these people that are outside in the heat and you're like, oh my goodness gracious, they're
yep.
irresponsible. But then
maybe not.
It does create I am walking around outside.
Yeah, around people.
Around people. And I feel a degree of caution.
Yeah. Yep.
That is unfortunate. And I think it goes to something that might actually be meaningful for our listeners today. Dare we go into something that could actually be redemptive and could be life-giving for them? But friends, again, this is where we just have to really be aware of the condition of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like we really do have to be mindful of like, where are our emotions? Where are where are we when it comes to just our mental health and just like really genuinely like being mindful, like how on edge are we? And like how susceptible are we to kind of the swings that are back and forth with all of these things, whether they're political or whether they're connected to any number of other pieces of propaganda or some type of preservation of an industry or anything that sort. You and I were just talking about off air. I mean, if you look at heart disease, and again, this is not to minimize COVID. It's just the idea that like, what were the numbers you were sharing?
One out of every four deaths in this country are around heart disease.
Right.
684,000 deaths last year due to heart disease, some heart-related death. And look, again, it's like Jason said, we're not trying to minimize COVID, but what I'm saying is if we allow ourselves to obsess over the numbers, just the data, which is what we've done over the last 5 or 6 months. I mean, it's like when you watch ESPN and they have the scroll bar at the bottom going, here's the scores, here's what it looks like, here's who's traded. Well, the cable news outlets are running a tally. Here's how many people are hospitalized.
Right.
Here's how many people are dying. Here's how many people are on vents. All of these things. If we did that with heart disease, we would all be like, oh my gosh, we can't do anything. What is wrong? We need to do this.
Terrified to have a French fry.
Terrified.
I mean, honestly, because if that just kind of constant bombardment of information was just being blasted at you nonstop, you actually probably would make really better changes,
probably.
You know, but the point is we're not living in fear of a hamburger right now. We're not living in fear of even things that are genetic in nature. Yep. I mean, some are, but as a whole, we're not. And so again, I think it just goes back to take a breath.
Yeah.
To take a breath does not mean we become dismissive. Does not mean that we alienate people that are cautious. It does not mean that our personal selves need to have caution. It just means that we take a breath and we allow the voice of the Lord to be the thing that I would say is stabilizing and in many ways actually even neutralizing. Like there needs to be something that is almost combative to the constant voices that are coming into our minds and our hearts. There needs to be something that's combative that is like refuting some of those things. And again, not to say that they're false, but to say, there's a hope in something bigger.
Yeah.
There's like a trust in something bigger. There's actually like a reality that your life is being held together by more than simply the presence or lack thereof of a virus in your life. I mean, there's got to be some, again, kind of neutralizing, combative type thing in you that is just saying, peace be still.
Mm-hmm.
Like peace. And friends, if I could just encourage you, man, we are hearing so much noise right now.
So much.
Just take some time. You have changed your life radically over the last many months, and you have chosen to do that in a physical way.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that you've done that is by you have put time into your life to say, I am going to do X, Y, and Z. And that has been, I'm going to run, I'm going to ride the bike, I'm going to do some of those things. And yeah, I know that you put down sun drops. Yes, good for you. But you've also added a lot of things in, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, what we have a tendency to do is we just think if I can just turn enough things off, then it's going to heal my heart. It's going to like calm my heart. It's going to kind of calm all of this like anxiety that's in me. And I will say undoubtedly when you put down the sun drop, it helped, right?
Sure, yeah.
But you also added some things in. And I would say undoubtedly, maybe some people say, I'm going to get off Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to not listen to this extreme of kind of news, every night of the week. Yeah, it's going to help. But also add some things in.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean like just another good podcast, although we do know one that would be really ideal to listen to.
It's great. Every
Wednesday. No. We would say truly like open up the Word of God.
Yeah.
Like we are as a church about to jump into a study of the Psalms. And I am so excited about it because we're not going to talk a ton about COVID. We're not going to talk about Black Lives Matter. We're not going to talk about the election. We're going to allow the voice of the Lord. We're going to just saturate ourselves in the Psalms and we're just going to allow that to really kind of work in our heart. And so take some things out, yes, but add some things in and allow it to be prayer. Allow it to be fasting. Allow it to be like biblical fellowship. Get reengaged. If you are today, and I will say this, I sent out a letter to our church this last week.
Yeah, I got it.
And I hope it didn't come across, you know, you read it. I hope it did not come across condescending or anything of that sort. But really the very basic deal is like, hey, we get it. Mm-hmm. Like we completely get it. In fact, there's been all kinds of reasons that make sense for people to have been disengaged,
sure.
You know, and to feel a little bit distanced. Here's the point though. Like let's fight for engagement with our local congregation, whether that means online or in person. Let's fight to remain connected because openly, the longer we stay disengaged, the harder it is going to be to reengage.
Sure.
Because you're going to feel alienated. You're going to feel like, oh man, like, ah, now like things have happened. Like, oh, I mean, it is, it, tell me, I mean, we do this. We never, you know, don't call people back promptly.
Right.
I'm sure, you know,
yeah.
But how many times have we had like, hey, our old buddy called, and you like wanted to catch up with them, but you're like, man, I really need more than like the 3 minutes that I've got.
Yep.
And so you're like, okay, I'm going to call them next week.
Put it off.
Then it's boom. It's a week. It's 2 weeks. It's 3 weeks. It's 4 weeks. It's 8 weeks. And you're like, I am a terrible human.
Yep.
I would love to talk to this guy, but now it's super awkward and I owe him an apology. And really you don't even owe him an apology. He would just be happy to hear from you.
Yeah.
We do the exact same thing with the body of Christ.
Yep.
And so friends today, if I can just encourage you again, take some things out. Yes. Be mindful. Put some filters in if you need to. Put the stuff back in, and maybe, just maybe, that would also be your engagement with the local fellowship of Christ followers. We'll be back. I am happy to be
stuck with you. Yes, it's true. Oh, is that Huey Lewis in the news? Come on.
Yes. Happy to be
stuck with you.
This is classic.
Good stuff. I had that cassette. I ain't ashamed to say.
So, speaking of classics... You know, I must say, I actually gave a great compliment to my boys earlier in the show, and now I'm going to publicly shame them.
Good.
It feels like that's the appropriate thing to do as
Sometimes
a parent.
They need that.
Especially a parent that's a pastor. I should do that,
they
right?
Do that. They need
No. I'm not going to do that. But I will tell you, a moment that hurt me, it was hurtful to me. So we're talking about classic music. When I get in my wife's vehicle, for whatever reason, it'll sync, you know, like it's got a Bluetooth sync with your phone or her phone. And if I had been driving most recently and had my phone in sync with, the kind of system, like if we stop, get out, go to lunch, you know, go into a gas station or maybe come back out, it immediately like basically starts playing music from my phone. But it just pulls any random song from my library, okay? Like, so it could be, and I have thousands of songs
probably a
in
lot
my library.
Train.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, and so there's all these songs in there, and sometimes you'll get some ridiculous stuff, okay? You'll get any number of things.
You don't even remember you downloaded it.
Yeah, I'm like, why was that there?
Yeah.
Well, there was a song that came on by a band that actually is a group of friends of mine. Okay. And so what this was a band.
Hanson?
No, yes, it is. It is actually
Hanson.
You two. No, I started an event in college. That was for college students. It was a worship gathering. Again, I was in college in the year 2000. So this is 20 years, you know, ago.
And you're old.
I know. I'm so old. This gets to the point. And so it actually took off. Like we had this, I mean, just really sweet couple years of like monthly gatherings, people, college students coming together to worship together. And we had this college band that led and they were unbelievable. They were called Rev 7.
Okay.
And, based out of Revelation 7, just unbelievable. And, they recorded an album. And so the album is playing and I was like, man, this is great. I forgot about this. And so I decided to go down like down a road of nostalgia with my kids. And so I said, boys, do y'all know who this is? And they were like, of course, no. You know, I was just setting them up. I was like, let me tell you who this is. And so I tell them, these are some college friends that, you know, that I went to college with and we had this great event and they created this band and then they put out this great music and I let them listen to it. And then my youngest son, who I've just praised because he did so great this weekend, looks at me and he says, are they still alive? Why? Why would he say that?
Yeah, well, because
I am 42 years old.
Yeah, I mean, that's
why would he think that they would not still be alive?
Yeah,
I mean, we are not.
But that's
I'm
where
confused.
That's where we've gotten. I remember being a kid,
and so I actually asked him to walk the rest of the
get
trip.
Out of the car. So
I was like, "We will pick you up a little bit later.
You're no longer playing soccer ever again." You know, I remember being a kid thinking my parents were old
at 40.
Yeah,
right.
And now my 4-year old, especially Evelyn. It seems like every day makes comments to me and Aaron about, well, y'all are old.
Yeah.
You're old, mommy. You're old, daddy. And I'm like,
you need to
I mean,
stop.
I guess to your, you know, you're 4.
Yes.
And so last night I go upstairs to tuck Evelyn in and she says, Gavin gave me this shirt to wear. And so she's wearing a shirt that says Andrew and it's airbrushed. From Gatlinburg.
Yes.
1991.
Yes. Did you purchase it?
That is mine.
When you purchased it, did you also buy taffy, fudge, or a throwing star?
Duh. And a fanny pack. and so I, you know, I'm looking at that shirt and I'm going, wow, I was 91. I was what? 7. And I'm going, I've had that shirt for that long and my 4-year-old is now wearing it. And I told her this morning because she was downstairs and I said, don't mess that shirt up. I've had it for a long time. And I said, who'd have thought in 1991 that in 2020, I would be living within 45 minutes to Gatlinburg,
yes,
where we went every single summer.
Yes.
And my 4-year-old would be wearing my airbrushed with a deer standing on the side of a cliff, airbrushed shirt.
Wow.
And I will say, I don't know who airbrushed it. I don't know who painted it, but
good work or not good work?
Really good work. And it's not really faded.
Really?
It is that old. It is so old.
It is.
And
it is
30 years
it's
old.
It's past
right?
the test of time.
And it's still quality. It's been washed multiple times. Like,
well,
a ton
I would
of
hope
times.
So. I would hope so.
And yeah, really good. But seeing my 4-year-old wear it, I think, man, I was really small at 7 because it fits her perfect.
Yeah.
And so at 7, I must have been like,
man,
really small, redheaded, pale white kid.
So as we end, things that pass the test of time.
Yes.
Tie-dye t-shirts.
Absolutely. Airbrush shirts.
Much more so the Lord's faithfulness.
Absolutely.
And hopefully our show.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week.
See you next week.